Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 13th of the 8th month, 2025. It is a lovely and whooping Wednesday evening, and we are, of course, going to be doing the most as we always do. I think we are extra, and it is what it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing nice things. We're talking about you. We're talking about your spouse. We're talking about this thing of you not trying to encourage, not trying to support them, just not being an emotionally supportive person. We don't want those things as we want, that know how to emotionally support their partners. How are we going to emotionally support our partners? Because it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because it is very, very difficult to do it if we don't have the correct tools, the correct guidelines. And you know, Mama is here. Mama is here to come and teach you guys how to be having emotional intelligence and also how to just, you know, learn. There is no such thing as I'm too old to learn. Maybe you are too old to learn, but we're gonna teach you anyways. And you're gonna learn anyways. Because sometimes, right, the only way to rebuild some relationships is by being emotional enough. Yes. Sometimes that apology, sometimes that listening, sometimes, right? Sometimes somebody's mad at you because they feel that you don't hear them and you don't hear them and you don't understand what they're saying and basically it just goes wild. It goes wild because you don't want to listen to other people. You don't want to participate. You're not an active listener. You're not actively doing empathizing, sympathizing, and all the sizing. You're not sizing, man. And that's not nice. It's not nice if you're not sizing. You have to size. Sympathize, empathize, compromise, all the size. You have to put it. I almost said something, but you know, I'm not that kind of person. I'm a nice lady that, you know, I just want to have a good time and I just want to, I don't know, go a little bit live with my mister and etc. So ladies and gentlemen, before we get the show on the road, let us go pee pindi quickly and then we will resume. So for now, grab that glass of water because you're going to need it, okay?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? We're talking about how to emotionally support our spouses. You know, the one thing that I know is that To be honest. When somebody is going through the motions and when somebody is going through whatever they are going through, right? It's easy for us to take up the first days. We take up the first days. Oh, for you people that are on the Facebook there, I'm also live on Facebook, guys, in case you guys would want to go and get a glimpse of the hot mess. Hey, it has been a rough time. So you guys must just bear with me. Bear with me. But I need you guys to come through. Let's talk about this. How are we going to be emotionally supportive towards our spouses? How are we most probably going to do that? Right? Yesterday we talked about active listening, where you listen. And then after you listened, you take it back. You take it back to the person and then you say, like, okay, so what I understand from what you're saying is that, you feel that this is unfair and this is what's happening to you and this is this and this is that and this is this. And that is why you are feeling the way you are feeling. That way, if you said anything or if you heard anything and it wasn't part of the program, it wasn't part of the memo, if it wasn't part of the memo, there is a chance where somebody can now correct you and add what you have missed. But this is also an indication that I can hear you, I understand what you're saying, and I know which perspective you are taking it from. That is how we do active listening. Somebody talks and then we say back what they said to us, and then they correct us if we need correcting, because we are most attentively listening, right? And then they tell us, and then, you know, we continue the story. When we continue the story like that, it's umnanti, nice. Very, very nice. Because now the person feels like they are heard. The person feels like they are understood. And the person doesn't think that you are wandering off. Do you guys get it? Huh? Doesn't feel like you're wandering off when you're listening to them. And then also, number two, you have to understand that when somebody is going through whatever they are going through and they chose you to talk to you, right? You can't be like this. You can't be on the phone and checking your what and, oh, thank you. And, oh, no, not like this. You can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, when it is attentive listening, you have to be attentive. And being attentive means pay attention. Pay attention. Put away everything. Put the cell phone away. Put the wandering mind away. Put everything away and attentively listen to this person. We're talking about emotionally supporting our spouses. We're talking about emotionally supporting our friends, emotionally supporting our parents, emotionally supporting somebody. And we are starting with number one, which is active listening. Now, in this active listening, you are not pittering with things all over the place. You are not also... Do you know how disrespectful it is to be having a conversation with somebody and you are pouring your heart out and then you are most probably talking about, when I was 8 years old, there was this man that came into the house and he didn't find our parents there. And then he told us to take off our clothes and then he made us run naked for 20 miles or whatever, right? Or 20 kilometers or whatever. This is something that touched me. This is something that, you know, made me feel something. And I'm telling you because I believe that I trust you. I believe that you have the capability of hearing me and understanding me and also going through the motions with me. It's not necessarily that you have the ability to cure whatever I have. It's not that you have the ability to make me feel better. I need to be heard and I believe that you can hear me. That's why I'm telling you. That's the only reason I'm telling you. It's not because you are this phenomenal person. I'm telling you because I believe that you have the capabilities and the comprehension skills to hear me. And now you, while I'm talking about, while I'm in the middle of it, yes, and then we were running, you are like, oh, I know, did you hear that Ndapewa is pregnant? So me, my story is not as important as Ndapewa's pregnancy. So me, my life is not as important as the gossip that is out there. And that is why people shut down. People shut down when they are talking to you. Do you know why people that unalive themselves, right? I'm going to use this term because they will get canceled. They're by Facebook. Woo! We'll get canceled for using the S word, you know? You guys get it, huh? Majority of our people that unalive themselves feel like nobody loves them. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants to hear You guys are all on the social medias. Yeah? Depression is real. Depression is real. Depression is real. Talk up. Speak up, men. Especially to men. Speak up. Speak up. I don't believe that there is a single person on this planet Earth that has not talked about their problems before they took up. Yeah? They took up this alternative. There's never been a time where your son that is deeply in debt didn't say that they were deeply in debt. But you as a parent, you were nah. You are first, you're just scrolling on your phone because you, the seniors are now into phones, and I don't know who taught them phones, but okay. Yeah. The seniors are now into phones, or they want to talk about whose child that got married, what. And I'm telling you about my debt. So what do you think happens when I'm telling you something, nah? And then you interject, and then you talk about something else. What does that tell me? It makes me feel embarrassed. It makes me feel ashamed. It makes me feel like I don't matter, because I don't matter enough for you to listen to me and pay attention to me. Do you know why the middle child, there's a thing called the middle child syndrome. Do you know why the middle child is as neglected as they are, especially if the middle section of children, right, is more than one? Yeah, because if you guys are like 10, that means there is a firstborn, and then there is a lastborn, and then the rest of you guys are middle children. Do you know why most middle children behave the way they do? Some say that middle children act out because the firstborn is usually our pancake, you know, our making, like our trial run. Yeah, this is the first time we are parents. We are most probably in a stuck situation. We are going through the motions. We are going through a lot. We don't have the kind of money to actually raise a baby, but we are not aborting. Viva no aborting. And we are going to try, and then baby father runs away. And sometimes you don't even know him. Oh my God. How am I going to tell my child that they don't have a father because I don't really know who it was because I was young and doing the things? So that child is the one that says, that child is the one that comes and teaches you kuchakula umone. Grow so that you can see. Eh. Dengwa ulungame. Get bitten to lungams. That is that child that teaches you resilience. It can be a mother, it can be a father, but the firstborn comes to teach lessons. It is what it is. The firstborn comes to teach lessons. The secondborn, if you have more, the second born is the comfortable baby. The comfortable baby is the one that you kind of anticipate it, and you kind of know what you are doing. So even when there's colic, you just sharp. Even when there's a nappy rash, you just sharp, because you already know what you're doing to some degree. You know, it is, I'm not undermining a mother's role or a father's role. It's just that with a second child, it's much easier because you know most things, like you know breastfeeding. Eh? It's not, you don't cry the tears that you cried there by the first child, because they're like, we cry. Eh? 1 month. Every time it's time to feed the baby, it's like, the baby's hungry again. Huh? Because, oh, hey, and then now it's here, and then it's the, and then it's, ah, and then it's also a father that's not present. Or maybe you're one of the unlucky ones where the mother dropped the baby because she's having depression, what. She leaves you with a baby, and then your mother says, "Kuja me, I'm old, I'm not taking care of this baby. The best you can do is change your own child's diapers, make your own child's milk." It is what it is. You feel it. But with the second one, you kind of know what you're doing. You're on the, eh. Ningeni, even the way you wash nappies, if you are washing them, eh? Even the way you wash nappies, like, fast, yeah? And you put it over there. You even know, kucha, we are not using this one because it's like this, and we are using this because it's like this. It's a lot easier. Then, you get the last born. Now the last born is usually something that is planned, yes, orchestrated. Kucha, in 2 years' time, I'm going to have a baby, and this baby is going to be immaculate. This baby is going to be find me a CEO. I have a degree and a master's, and I'm going for my PhD right now. And then I'm also selected as partner at the firm. And Baby last baby comes when you are happy. Baby last baby comes when you have no worries. Maybe our relationship of baby last baby is even going well. Well. The type of one that you know the grandparents, not because wanting a tegerero. And it is really because even before a tegerero, you was there. She was there, she went that side, and Oshiri Unkadona Rakoka, Ninga, you are a young man of a great caliber, waza. Yeah? So, now, the last born is introduced to a parent that is in a different stage in their lives, in a different place in their lives, right? And the firstborn is introduced to a parent that is often fighting to keep them. Because when you have a child and one, you are not ready, two, you are not financially stable, three, you are not in a committed or stable relationship, or you are even unmarried. I can say it. If you are not married, then you are having a baby. Like Oshirine, there are trials and tribulations. There are trials and there are tribulations. Eh? They are there. And then that one taught you how to grow. That one taught you how to hustle. That one taught you how to fight. That one taught you, right, how to be a standing person. That one is the one that made you a man. Ne? That firstborn of yours is the one that made you a man. Onu tovurukuya mohapu. Eh? You can go in hubs. You can go into conversations now because you are a parent. Eh? When you die, taturakoshtenza, you know, like ata beloved father to somebody, you know, beloved son, father. It's not just gonna be beloved son. If you are born alone, beloved son only. Eh? Not even cousin, because maybe your mother is also born alone. Shandis. Yeah. But you know, title. So what happens is that there's neglect with the middle child. And the middle child is usually ignored because they don't have enough time to be the last born. And that last born status is taken away immediately. And it's always Fira Munon. This one is loved because they are the ones that taught them how to grow. This one is the one that came in a comfortable time. And you that is in the middle usually are just in limbo. Yeah. If your parents are little. Yeah. If your parents are, yeah. Look at this one. Kaskas, apparently all his children are firstborns by their mother. Yeah, by their mother, but out of your DNA, my dear, you have middles. That's why the firstborn is your favorite. The lastborn is also your favorite. The middle ones, you know, they are children. They are your kids. Yeah. Unon. Well, yeah. Yeah. So usually this is what happens when it comes to a case of neglect. So, the middle child always has to work extra hard to be noticed and to be seen and for their achievements to be long lived, because it's either when we are celebrating my wins, then the last one falls and breaks a leg, and then everybody takes the attention from me, and now we are all on our way to the hospital. You are most probably being left there behind with your whole cake. It's your birthday, but you know, the baby broke the leg, so Izizimika, you know, be strong. And that is what I'm talking about when it comes to attentive listening and neglecting a person's conversation. 90% of people that unalive themselves, right, are people that have spoken. We all say that, please speak up. The problem that I want to teach, or what I want to bring to the table for the elephant to address. Let's address the elephant in the room, right? The elephant in the room is that maybe, just maybe, we are not capable of tolerating other people's pain, other people's depression, other people's anxiety, because it is tedious and it is redundant. Because it is something that takes too long, because we can't estimate it. Because if it was maternity, we would say, give her 6 weeks, right? And after those 6 weeks, the doctor said we can have sex. So the doctor said we can do it because there's a time frame to it. But what happens when I'm going through the motions, right? And there's no time frame to it. I'm going through the motions and it has been 6 months. And I'm still gloomy and I'm still just in a bad space. How do you deal with it? Because there's no time frame. You think that I'm going to morally support you. I'm going to support you through everything, sis. I got your back, sis. Are you still going to be coming after 2 years? When I've been depressed for 2 years. Functioning, I go to work. But now I don't party. Now I don't do nothing. Now I don't, nothing like that. I come back from work. I sleep. I'm literally just not the person that you used to know. What happens then? Most of us fall out of it. Most of us get tired of it. Most of us start to stay away. There's no person that has ever unalived themselves that has not spoken. The thing is that we are all waiting for a conversation that sounds emotional. We are all waiting for a conversation that is trigger happy. We are waiting for a conversation that sounds like a cry for help. But many of us don't know what a cry for help is, because a cry for help can be a sign. A cry for help can be me giving you a hug. A cry for help can be me telling you about how sad I am that things are going the way they are, but I'm telling you while we're drinking and we're chilling and we're having fun. We are all expecting somebody to display their pain in a painful way. And that is why we don't hear our loved ones when they are speaking volumes. That's why we don't hear them when they are silent. That is why we don't hear them. And we go and get the shock of our lives when we go onto Facebook tomorrow and we read that it is announcement of death and it is who that has passed away. And we ask questions like, what happened? And then somebody says suicide, the S word. We get surprised, right? Because the person was so happy. The problem is that we expect everybody to be crying. We expect everybody to come to us in tears and in heartache, and we expect them to come like a crazy person. But what if the matriarch is not like that? What if this is who I am? What if this that I display on a regular basis? What if I come to you and I come and tell you, I'm going through the motions. I am in debt. I'm what? I'm also what? And I'm what? Eh? What would you say? The likelihood of you brushing me off because of my personality, the likelihood of you brushing me off because of my character, the likelihood of you not taking what I am telling you seriously because I am joking around or because I use sarcasm as a defense mechanism against y'all haters, right? It's so high. It's so high that you miss it. Now, next week, you go in here, matriarch, she committed suicide. And you are shocked. But she was on live and she was so lively. Hey? Hanu angkang matengerashke, di kaya ni endam basa, inandim basa. We say things like, yeah, those happy ones are usually the ones that are going through a lot. It is because you assume it to be happy and you do not actually listen. You look at me and you think that I am fine because I'm talking, but I am giving you a cry for help. Dude, I'm telling you like, yo, I'm 40 years old, eh? And I've got no future prospects. I don't work. I'm at the end of my rope, in all honesty. I don't know when these miracles are going to come. And you say that I know what it means. Don't worry. Like, that's not how you're supposed to console me. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to repeat back what I said to you and validate me. Tell me that my emotions are valid. Tell me that I'm not crazy for feeling that the world is unfair because everybody that we applied work with, they made it through, but me, my CV was not taken. How can we be 10, eh? And my CV is not taken. And you are telling me, "Kuchini, my kind is shining." Ha! Validate. Tell me that, yeah, I understand. That's a bummer. Bro, I get it.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right. So today we're talking about emotionally supporting our spouses. We are talking about emotionally supporting our partners, and we are talking about you guys. Especially, it's not even okay. I'm going to give you guys a statistic, and this should be enough to calm you guys down and also make you think about something. We, as a people, are faced with a pandemic of budgets. They are unaliving themselves. They are unaliving themselves because they are going through whatever they are going through, and they are unaliving themselves. So we think that this is a pandemic. We think that men are silent and men are not talking, and speak up, men! Men, you can talk to us. Do you know who's at the forefront of that movement? Women. The same people that are incapable of listening. The same people that are incapable of understanding what a man is, because we've never been a man. I believe that you guys, as men, you guys must go into professions that help other men. You guys must become psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, people. So, because if I'm a man with man problems, and I come to a social worker or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, right? How am I going to tell this young girl from UNAM that's sitting here in front of me that my penis not working? You what, sir? I didn't hear you. My genitalia is not working. So what do you think could be the problem? Could be the cause of your erectile dysfunction? Ha! It has a name! How am I going to end up telling you guys the truth? I have an uncle that had an STD. And this, my uncle, he refused to get an injection. At the time, I think syphilis had syphilis or gonorrhea. We know it was the big ones. It was not the ones that you just pop a pill and whatever. It was the big ones where Owenda must happen. He had the one that we knew. Uncle is bending. So this uncle refused to be seen at the clinic more than once. This man went to Onaina's clinic. He went to Onanjokwe's clinic. He went to Okankoro's clinic. He went to Konkumbura's clinic for. He went to Ondangba. These small clinics or whatever. He went everywhere, priest. This man went everywhere to get his 9 injections, as long as he didn't repeat the same place for an injection. He could have just went, right, to one clinic and just went going back to go and get his injection until he got cured. But no, this man traveled, my dear. He spent his last penny hitchhiking to clinic so that he can get his injections on time. That's how I know that we would rather, We would rather go the extra mile than embarrass ourselves like that. And now you're telling me that as a man, I must sit in front of this young girl that has probably, she's probably in her life, eh? Has never had a stable relationship in her life, and she's the one that I must be telling my problems, eh? This person that is probably from bougie, she's climbing out of a Benz to come to Central Hospital, and this is the person that I must be telling my things again, no. No. I can't. I can't. Do you know why? Because we are unrelatable. We can't relate to men problems because we've never been men. And even if they can relate to us, we are not living and walking in the same shoes as men. And unfortunately, this is the reality of it. And wouldn't it be swell? Wouldn't it be amazing to have a young black man sitting in the seat of someone that can assist you, that understands your slang, somebody that can respond and say, when somebody that looks like me, that walks like me, that has most probably experienced half the things that I have experienced, talks to me, I'll think that they know what they're talking about, because look at them. They're sitting in a position where they are assisting others. And it's not something that you pick it up from the street. Like, woo, let's pick up a degree in psychology. Let's do clinical psychology. It's not, but it is dedication. Men need camaraderie. Men need you people to stop playing with conversations. Not every conversation. Like, I feel like if you guys took every single conversation seriously, you guys would save your friends, you would save your brothers, you'd save your cousins, you'd save your fathers, you'd save your uncles. You would save everybody if you paid attention to what was said. If somebody says, my dear, do you know that men don't ask questions? Eh? Men don't ask questions. How can I say something so deep like this, ne? And you are not following up with, so, what do you mean, my friend? You are not asking. Eh? You are not asking. That is exactly what happens. But if you guys take my advice, Vilo, eh? If you guys take my advice, then you just say that, hey, Gandhi Mangongaku, I'm going to go and study psychology. I'm telling you, right? In 2 years' time, you have your own practice and your practice will be fully booked because you'll be talking to men that understand you and you understand them, and they will not come and tell you nonsense. They'll come straight to the point because they are looking for answers. They are looking for assistance. They are looking for somebody to talk to. Somebody that will never tell their things. Somebody that can help them. Men need help. We all need help. Women are at the forefront of speak up men, but in all honesty, how many of us can handle a man that is depressed for 5 years? And I'm not talking about the sexy kind of depressed. Like, woo! Like, I'm so depressed. Let's just have sex. Okay. No, we're not talking about that one. We're talking about the depressed where I'm not bathing. Yeah? I'm not bathing. I don't want to go to work. I want to resign. I just want to sleep. Oh my God. My life is just so bad. And that one. We're talking about the depressed where the only conversation that we're having is always sad. For 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. How many of us can handle that one? Oh. Cause me, I know. I like to be the limelight. I like to be the weak one. Oh, I like to be the weak one. Like, oh, here and Kero, here you are. I want to be that one. Me, I know. I'm very honest. I want to be the weak one. No matter how strong, please, allow me to be strong outside. And here I must be a baby. I must be like this. Nahara and Randa Shambe Kera. When I say, which I can do it now, like, bruh, call me Nkero, bruh. I know it's not my thing, but I know it's not my title, but call me Nkero. Yeah? It's like, well, shitty. Yeah? I just become better. It is what it is. That's what I like. And the thing is that there's nobody that doesn't want to be cradled. There's nobody that doesn't want to be loved affectionately. There's nobody that doesn't want to be heard and listened to. Now imagine, if you have to take up the role of being the strong one, because your person every day wants to be cradled and cuddled because they are going through emotional damage, will you be able to? Shanyenga, no, a guy cries a little bit and then you're like, oh, that guy is too soft. Ha! You want to be having posters at high court. Speak up, men. Men, speak up. Speak up, men. You want to be walking the streets of Windhoek parading, which are men must speak up. We are tired of the pandemic. We're tired of our men killing themselves. Hey, we cannot handle it. And the statistic that I was going to talk about before I derailed all the other way to Nakuleka, is the rate of suicide amongst women is not high because they are not successful at it. If you go to the psych ward, you find 90% of the people that have tried to unalive themselves are women. And when you go to the morgue, you find 90% that have unalived themselves, right? Are men. Why? Because women are not effective. Men are effective. Men like results. Right? And that is why I'm saying that this thing of us just, hey, depression is real, guys. Depression is real. No. Like, we need to find solutions because men are solution based. That's why when you tell him, kucha, yeah, I can't believe my friend didn't send my $200 and she stole my $200 out of my bag. Do you know what a man will tell you? Make a case. Because, yeah. Finish. Then we don't have to talk about it. But us women, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she's so vindictive. Like, how'd you even go inside? We want to talk about it for 2 hours first. Eh? And we'll never go to the police because, you know, we like to talk about it for 2 hours. Men are effective. Men are effective and men like results. Men are solution based. Another solution to the pandemic of suicides amongst men in Namibia is having male practitioners in the positions of helping them with their mental health. If we just have dudes from Katutura and that guy is your therapist, is your counselor, eh? Are you not going to listen to that guy? First of all, he comes inside there looking like Kuchame Bru. Prat met me. Eh? What a guan. He is the cherry man. Eh? The cherry. The nangula de. Like, yeah. And then, now if this guy, that you are opening up to says, I understand what you're saying. And I understand, that feels bad, right? You feel bad? You're like, yeah, I feel very bad. Like, you feel like, how bad do you feel, Kucha? I just feel like I'm not worthy, Mbera. She doesn't check me as a man enough or something. Kucha, also you feel like you are not man enough because this person did what they did, but they did it to you. And no, I was like, okay, but the thing is here. This is not actually a thing about you, Ka. I am a bro. This is not a thing about you, Shashi. No, this is a display of her character. Kucha, she's loose. Yeah, Mrs. Kush, you are loose letting niggas jump a train on you. Huh? Kucha, yeah. Hey, this Dimavutu. Dimavutu has lost me, Masekin. Yeah? Wali wala kukala monente to kwatokon kifingero. Yeah? Me bro. Like, hi, oh, shitty man. Kucha, yeah. Isn't it? Don't you think that when you look at it from this perspective, huh? Well, like, I understand the pain here, but when you look at it from this perspective, me bro, like, is it really because you are not worthy? Or is it because this is who she is and maybe she's not worthy and she feels like she's not worthy. That's why she can donate her body to a gang of niggas, a gang of brothers, a school of brothers, a tycoon, a conglomerate of brothers. Don't you think, bro, that in itself, that brief moment there of validation, listening, active listening, comprehension, and dishing it back. That's what we need. Now, are you telling me that whatever you are going through, if that was your situation and the guy was telling you like this, ne? You wouldn't get it instantly. Are you not going to walk out of there feeling better? Are you not going to book another appointment? Are you not going to book another appointment so that this guy actually helps you through it? Kucha, now how do I work with, like, how do I work with myself? Kucha, ah, yeah. Let's maybe talk about how did you grow up? Where did you grow up, my brother? Eh? Ah, yeah, no. Me, I grew up in the streets of Onipa, man. Also, you're from the north. Like, oh, okay. So what's the dynamics there in the north, kucha? Hanuyoko north, like, how are you guys really? Ah, yeah. So tuakara ike kongkunda mpea, like, Onipa. Hamomo Nipa na, ndatanga kumbinga njia. Kumbinga njia. Rafomo village, akashona. Konipo, tuara atui kuarangere. Atui, like, kondangwa nenge, you know, going somewhere, marahana na, no. Oh, so you're not really exposed, anganga, okini moinjindishi. Like, yeah, okay. So, shiwatarane, like, when you look at this woman, like, what type of person is she like how do you describe her? Oh, she was so beautiful. She was like beautiful. She has long hair until Tanti's a wig, huh? But anyhow, let's not diss our Gweri. Let's not diss our Gweri. Let's love him and embrace him. He's talking his emotions. If she has hair until here, my bro, kanakayela. O kanakayela. Woo! Kanakayela. Kafaki kosho mama shini, my bro. Oh, like, okay, so. Okwaela, like, ohanika nawa, or what? Oh, hi, okwaela, ike, ohajala ne high heels, ah, yokuna ne shete. Oh, okay, alongo pe, ay, along. Shetolaji pe. Bro went to fall in love with a slave queen. Eh? So now we can explain it better because it doesn't make sense. Okay, so she's your girl, and she's got a bed, and she's clean, and she's white, and she's white. And hey, and you, what do you do? Kucha, hey, hey. I'm on that venere and go 2 million, I'm a jackpot, huh? I am a bro, I know a bro, kungwea omombanga, man. It was a relationship, don't worry. You know, but wouldn't you be able to, you know, relate? You could get out of there healed. You could get out of there feeling better. But it is only when people that look like you and people that understand where you are coming from are the people in the positions of helping you and assisting you. Because me also, I don't, there's only dire consequence. The last time I went for a pap smear was 2018. The only reason I went for a pap smear recently is because I was not feeling well. Eh? But it took me courage. It took me 6 months of I'm going to the gynae. And do you know why it took me 6 months to get the courage to go to the gynae? Eh? Until I even got worse because I'm taking too long to go to the doctor. Eh? Do you know why it took me so long? Because the gynae is a dude. Like, ah. Like it's just inappropriate. Hey. It's inappropriate, but it's something that had to be done, right? But imagine if the gynae was a chick. Imagine if the gynae, because the problem is that, you know, when your work speaks for itself, ne? Like when you are the best, we just have to go to the best because we also don't want to be visiting you 20 times, eh? But when your work is the best, right? Then we'll go to the best, even if the best is a dude, and we'll sit there and just stomach it. Because unfortunately, we also want to heal. Yeah. Eh. But if there was a woman that was the best, the best for at least 20 to 30 years on top of their game, I would have went there. And at least, you know, 2018 to 2025. Yay. How many years is that? But the only reason I didn't go earlier is because it's the opposite gender. I understand that you might have seen a lot of pum pum along the years. You know a lot, but your gender still plays a role. Like your gender is still here. The philosopher. Your gender is still here. I still see it. And it is what it is. Hasho. So imagine, right? If there was a young black man in the seat of the assistant, it would work. With greatness, it would work. So please, guys, instead of going to all study IT, instead of going to, what else you guys do? Graphic design, education. Instead of going to do those ones, try psychology, man. Yeah, try psychology, try psychiatry, try social work, try things that require you to help other guys, man. Yeah? And the reason that our rate is so high is because men fall through with it. They fall through with it because they achieve it. Because men don't do things half. You, when you try, but usually you try with something that must be gentle and must be soft, right? With a lot of women, you can go to psychiatry. You can go to psychiatric and go and see that there are a lot of people that are suffering, and they have tried to do it and they weren't successful. But 90% of them are women because, I would hate to say it, but they didn't do it correctly. Men finish things. Men are effective. Yeah? Ndapusha no nokuri. Men under the eyes. Have you ever seen somebody's eyes sweating? It's me. Matriarch. That is what happens. Okay? So, let's not say that the pandemic is only with men. I think that we are just going through a time where we are not supported. A time where we are not heard, we are not listened to, nobody hears us, nobody listens to us, it is what it is. And that's what we're going through as a people. We're going through a time where everything is so important and everybody is having their busy lives. And when we get a glimpse of their time, a little bit, a snippet of their time, they're not fully there. So we're talking about supporting, emotionally supporting our spouses, right? Our partners, our spouses. Yeah, we're talking about emotionally supporting them because they also need emotional support. But they are the most difficult people to support because you live with them. You are with them. And it gets tiring. At least with a friend, right? At least with a friend, right? You can run away and go to your house. But now your partner, guys are here together. The partner is not taking care of nothing. The partner is not doing nothing. It becomes tiring. I know for a fact that when I had experienced it, it was one of the toughest things I had to do. It was one of the toughest things I had to do, and I had to end the relationship. Like, you know what? I'm not as proactive as I thought I was. I'm not Kunta Kinte as I thought I was. I'm not as strong as I thought I was. I'm not as nice. I'm not as nice and loving as I thought I was. I need to maybe go and heal myself. And maybe in the next life. Because I can't. In this life, no. Sorry, no. But in the next life, maybe. The next life, maybe I can give you a shot. But right now, the only thing that I realize about myself when I am with you is how selfish I am. How selfish I am, how greedy I am, how not compassionate I am, how triggered I am, how bad I am. And that is why I found out that I'm not as great as I thought I was. I thought I was an amazing person. I honestly thought that I was an amazing person. I was like, oh, me? The matriarch? Elizabeth, I'm amazing. It don't pay everybody. I thought that was me until I was in a relationship with a depressed dude. I left. Why? Why did you leave? Because you're depressed and your depression was irritating me. It was irritating me. And we can say as much as we want to say, but sometimes we hold on to relationships and we hold on to people, right? Because it's not even about I love them anymore. It's about, oh my God, if I leave you at your toughest time in your life, what will people say? Oh my goodness, I left them at their toughest time. But the problem with that is that you lose yourself within the process because now you're always angry. You're always angry. You're always in a bad mood. You're asking questions like, oh, even today I'm just laying on the couch. Yeah, I'm laying on the couch because half the time I don't even feel myself, you know. But you don't understand that. But when it happens to you, we must understand, right? Because I'm the advocate. Eh? I am number one to tell people that no. For a very long time in my life, I've suffered from severe depression and anxiety. And that has been my thing, you know, my role. And, you know, I played that one. Like, I dish it out. Yeah, my mother always says, could you not put that in my way? I'm like, my dear, people will not love me if I don't talk the truth. I must tell them the truth. Eh? So I've always been on that one. I've always been, you know, like, yeah, I've suffered from it for a very long time. You know, ever since I was basically diagnosed when I was 15. I talk about it, you know, and I'm used to being the only one that gets like that. And then I found someone that got like that and I didn't know how to deal with it. Like, you know, the same thing that I used to say about people, like, yeah, people always leave. People always leave and people don't understand and they always want to say, snap out of it, get on of it. Yeah, like Big Mouth Elizabeth. Yeah, like, my God. Yeah, people do that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to be the one that's like receiving it. People don't know how to have compassion. People have no empathy for others. People. Hey. And then I found myself in the position of people. That's why I say that you can never answer the question of who are you, because you also don't know who you are. You might know who you are for now, but let's wait until the last day. Then you can summarize how your life has been. And then you can say, Kucha, okay, this is a summary of what I've been. And this, at looking at the summary, I think that this is what I am. Then that's when you can say, Kucha, oh, I am a person like this. But for now, we say like, oh, no, for now, we must always put for now. For now, I'm a bubbly person. I'm a Big Mouth Elizabeth, like that one, Steven, is saying, you know, yeah, I'm like that. That's what I am for now. You know, I'm inspiring. I'm loving. I'm honest. I am respectful. I'm disrespectful. And you know, yeah, I'm a fighter, but I'm a crybaby. That's who I am for now. Tomorrow, I might be a villain. Tomorrow, I might be a murderer. Tomorrow, I might be anything. Tomorrow, I might be being called tomorrow as a witness at Namco's things. Yeah, can't, implicated. Yeah, can't. Yeah, you never know. Yeah, you never know what people do in their bank accounts. Maybe that other money that was sent into my account that I used, can't, it was not really, you know. Hey, you never know. Tomorrow I might be at the front page of something because I'm going through something and maybe we had an argument. I pushed the person falls, the person breaks their head, it's over. And who am I now? Murderer! Moss. So you never know. So we're talking about supporting, right? We're talking about supporting our spouses. We're talking about actively supporting our spouses. Now, we say that to be present and patient is essential. It is essential to be talking to somebody. The way you guys are listening to me now, ne? The way you guys are, because I see you guys like, it's like watching TV. Pay attention like that to your loved ones when they are talking. Because you cannot tell me that, yeah, I couldn't reply to your text because I don't text and drive. You forget that every single day we are in that car together, I watch you texting. So don't tell me nonsense. Yeah? Don't tell me nonsense. Don't tell me you cannot answer the phone when you are driving. Because me, I've driven with you and you answered 10 calls and you're telling me that when it's me. Yeah? So give me the attention that you are giving the matriarch when you guys are watching her on the lives. Give me that kind of attention. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that is going to come where your depressed friend or your depressed brother or your depressed father, is going to come and tell you, Kucha, yeah, I'm feeling some type of way. Can you, Vite? There's no way. I'm bothered by something. There's no particular formula of how people come forward and express themselves. Get that into your head, lovey. Understand that one. When you understand that one, right? Everything that's coming, ne, you take it. Small conversation, ne, you take it. You take it as seriously as anything, eh? Kucha anga ndaha kusami, bro. Like, take it. Take it and run with it. Kucha, oh. So, tell me more. Kucha morashik. You know? You lose nothing. In fact, you gain somebody that can now trust you with their things that they are thinking. Because you are not going to turn around and be, like, that's not you. Do better, guys. There's nobody that has unalived themselves that has not spoken. It's just that they've spoken to people that are incapable of hearing them. They have spoken to people that were expecting something else. Lower your expectations. Lower your expectations when it comes to the people that you're in relationships with. Lower your expectations when it comes to the future. Lower your expectations. I'm not saying don't aim for the sky. I'm saying lower your expectations. Tell yourself that I want to go to the sky. This is how I think I'll get to the sky. But if your slingshot is not rubber enough and it doesn't push you as far as the sky, right? Be grateful that you're in a tree. Be grateful that you flew a little. Don't expect anything. And when you fall, you get up. There's just no other way. Hey, you're going to stay down and there's just no other way. Try. Lower your expectations. When you lower your expectations when it comes to people, nothing that they can do can disappoint you. Nothing bad that they can do can disappoint you. And the good that they do surprises you in a good way. So every single time somebody that you expected nothing from does something for you, and you appreciate it and you love it, right? You are grateful. You are surprised. You are happy. But when you have expectations, could you meet my wife on my birthday? Meet my wife on my birthday. She's most probably going to take me to Dubai. And then your wife didn't take you to Dubai. Now you're angry that you didn't get to go to Dubai. And you're angry that your wife didn't smell that you want to go to Dubai with your side chick. And she blocked all your ways of going. And now you're mad because you expected her to understand that you're supposed to travel today, you know? And she was supposed to book your flight. Kanti, the girl looked at the calendar. She's like, it's her baby's birthday. He can go tomorrow. Today, I'm taking him to Hilton. I'm taking him to... And we're going to... I'm like, ooh, I bought myself some lingerie. I bought it for me, for you. I'm taking care of myself for you. Yeah. I buy myself things so that you can look at me in the things that I get to keep. What's up? It's a pleasant surprise, but it's not what I expected. It's not even a pleasant surprise because it's not what I expected, because I wanted something else. Stop. We're together, miss. Hello, hello, Petrus. Yeah, we're absolutely in class, ne? I keep telling you guys, ne? We will be better. We will be better. We will be better because me, I think it. No. Let me rectify. You think it. Everybody has thought exactly what I'm saying right now. We all think it. I just have the courage to talk about it on a live platform. I just have the courage to talk about it on a daily basis. I just have the courage to talk about it in general. Because, I mean, what do we have to lose by getting our people better? By making ourselves better? By making ourselves... Okay, that was Tate Matias. I had to say hi, guys. Like, so if you guys saw me, like, I don't have imaginary friends. There's nobody in my voice, like, in my head and stuff. Like, so, yeah. All right. But if we can practice some of these things, if we can learn, like, two things from this, and we practice it, the people around us are going to be happy. We are going to be happy. And we're going to live in a harmonious place. We're going to be able to coexist with one another. And we're going to have less bad days. And then maybe those less bad days can rub off on people that have bad days every day, and then we can make their lives better. It must be a dominoes effect. It must be a chain reaction. We must go out there. We must go out there and we must advocate and we must talk. Be nicer to your friends, your cousins. It's not everything that must be playthings. Listen to what they are saying. Eh? And hear them. Hear them. Like, it's very simple. There's nothing more challenging than being stuck in a space with somebody that you must be there for. And it is emotional. Because if it was financial and this person is having debt at Nasfaf, it's most easy. That one is easy. All you have to do is try and look for the money. And even if you don't have the money, at least you know what the problem is. Yeah. And you knowing the problem, that's like, you've already won the battle because you know why the person angunya. You know why the person is crying. You know why the person is not okay. If Nasfaf was a big deal, if Nasfaf was like in America where they'll come for you really, but yeah, you know, many of you guys are just dodgy. You guys don't even dodge. Like, there's no dodging. Like, what? Are they going to blacklist you? They cannot blacklist you. But anyways, okay. So maybe like, let's say the bank. Maybe you owe the bank knows where you stay. And they've got investigators. Yeah. At least you know what the problem is. But when it comes to emotional distress. Like how? Like, Kanti, the person is crying about their father that passed away like 2 years ago. The person is crying about their childhood that you were never even a part of. You didn't even know them like up until 5 years ago. And they're crying about a time where you were not present. They are feeling triggered and insecure about things that happened way before they met you. So how are you even supposed to guess and to smell that this is what is wrong? I know that we talk to our partners, right? And we tell our partners most things about us, but it's not always every day that you remember every single tragedy that has happened. It's not every single day that you feel and walk around with the tragedies on your heart and on your sleeve. Sometimes you even forget about them up until, right, you wake up one day and you remember it. And I can attest to this because, listen, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. You know, Moz, we don't hold back because, okay, the reason I'm so open and honest about my own personal life and I dish my own personal life here onto the table, it is because, right, I believe that if I speak openly and with all honesty in my life, right, then I will reach the people that need to hear it. I can come to work for one person to get the message. I can come to work for one person to hear and to understand and to feel less alone. So in case you are out there, because, you know, in case you're out there and you're like, oh my God, like, why is she telling people this? Does she know how many people are on Eagle FM? Does she know how many people watch this live? And she's telling people her BIM is like this. It is because the whole reason that these people are here is because they already know that I'm open like this. So when I was 27 years old, right? When was this? Like, on that cool papi here, guys. Like, when was this? Like, 97, I'm better? Like, okay, so when I was 27 years old, I'm really trying to guess when was 27 for me. Okay, 27 was 7 years ago. Sure. Yeah. Chase it 40, what? I can't wait to be a senior citizen. That's a, Eh, atu tinga baby shashitse ya no yo mundoro pa mas. Ngore ke? Eh? Ngore ke tegele la jalika no ushishi kuchona. Ande hama no ngolongo tuendele la landelo. I picture him to be speaking Oshindonga even though he's a kwanyama dude. But okay. So, when I was 27, in the middle of the year, I started getting this reoccurring dream. Now, a reoccurring dream is a dream that is happening constantly. So it was reoccurring, reoccurring, reoccurring. Now, the dream in itself didn't feel like a dream because I would dream this dream even when I was not sleeping. All right, you can call in. The number in studio is 083-288-401. Okay, so I was getting this reoccurring dream. And the problem with this reoccurring dream, right, is that it was like flashes. And I thought, like, it happens when I'm sleeping. And then it's not happening when I'm sleeping. So, yes, happens when I'm sleeping. It's not a sleeping thing. Like, yeah. So I would be sitting somewhere and it would just come. To just flash, but it is a vivid memory. It is a vivid memory. And I was in between, right? I was in between. Is it real? Real. Is it real or is it a figment of my imagination, right? Or even if it was a figment of my imagination, why would this be an imagination that I have? So, you know, your girl, we are all proactive there by getting our heads right. And also, I've been in therapy since I was 15. So me, I deal with things therapy. White girl. Hello. Good evening. All right. Me, white girl. Huh? You know, like this, let's just go talk to the therapist. Yeah. You know? Like, na, 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 na. She walks out to the man on the street. Yeah. Like, yeah. As memos, eh? If I can't figure it out, I go for assistance, guys. Oh, me, I go for assistance. I go for assistance. So I went to the psychologist. So I've been with my psychologist for a very long time. And, you know, if I'm doing good in life, I go, I don't go. If I'm doing bad, I'm like, whoa, fix me, help me. So it started bothering me, this flash or this dream thing that I was having. So the dream was, right? We were 7 years old. Okay. When I tell you guys about my childhood, let me tell you one thing in my childhood. I don't remember much. I don't remember anything. I don't even remember talking. Right? I don't remember the other day when we were sitting and we were talking. I don't remember what my voice sounds like. Sounded like at the time. I have no real recollection of my childhood because it was traumatic, right? It was traumatic for me. And the household in which I grew up, it was hostile. So it was, my childhood was very blur. I remember one day, standing outside the house, and I was young, and I came from a Vitoto at the time. My grandmother had brought me back, and Ohima. Yeah. Like, you know, the Ohima. Yeah. And I was telling my mom, because I don't speak Oshindonga at the time. I was like, you know, Mbandero girl. Herohan, you know, Tarundundu. Like, I remember that one. I remember the other day when we were wearing opaka with my cousin and, walking to school in the rain and my father driving past and there's space in the car and he didn't take me with. And then I remember the father that was sent to me, Kukushudi. He was sent to me. He has taken me to school. And I remember one day it was raining and he had an umbrella and he said what? We were walking and then I told him that when I grow up, I'm going to buy you a car. You know, I'm going to buy you a car. And he's like my pops. You know, when I have like a lot of money, I go into the shop and then I shop like from head to toe, even if I have to send it or even if I have to take it. And he's like, oh, my child, you know. And I also remember there was a day that I picked up a $200 and I was with him because he was technically just, he was like my dad. So I picked up this $200 and then I gave it to him. And he was supposed to hold it for me. Takarata penjeko. Like, you know, he must give me from my money that I gave him. So he's holding my money and then andikarandi kuthako. So today I need $2, you know, next week I need $2, you know. Hey, $2 net 200, huh? So the tradition that he has kept up with, right, has been that all throughout my life, he has called to give me money. And his saying was, andikupeko kini maetu. So him, he can give me like $200. He's like, you know, inakupwa, like he gives me $50 when he meets me, or he gives me like when I go home. He summons me and then he kills me a goat and I'm his child. You understand? So that's the, like, basically that was part of my childhood. And then things got a little bit darker when, I once followed my aunt that was going to commit suicide and she was at the well, but I followed her all the way. And I think like when she was about to jump, then I called on her and that's when she stopped. And those are like, that's my childhood, right? And then also my grandmother's passing. My grandmother had skin cancer. So what I remember my grandmother being loving and being warm and giving me things. Skelempis, tambakate kuruganje. Ohi, eapera, you know, okafet keka, you know, umboroto mupana, you know, njija mekopi, which, you know, grandmother, that woman. That woman was the best woman. But I can tell you today that for me, she was like absolutely amazing. But I could, if you hear the description of my mom, you would see something completely different. It would be like, yeah, she was okay. Very violent. And my aunt recently said that also she was short tempered. So I also grew up with that kind of violence, like seeing that kind of violence. And it was addressed to my grandmother's children because I lived with her for a while also on the Ndonga side. That's why I'm so fluent, Moshindonga, because. But anyhow, anywho. So that's that summarizes. And then there was school, but with school, I only remember making one specific child's life a living hell because I was acting out because of where I come from. So the bullying that was imposed on me is now the bullying that I was doing to this one particular child that I was a complete nightmare. It was such a mess that I think that at 28, after I've done shadow self-healing, you understand, and I digged within myself and I went to all these memories that I can translate, and I do therapy, guys. May I believe in therapy, because I don't want to be a bad person and I don't want to be acting outside of who I think I am, right? Simply because I experienced the things that I experienced and they made me who I am. Let me know that this that I'm showing here is not a defense mechanism because I feel hurt. You understand? That's why I go to therapy. That's why I go and talk and I figure these things out. So I did shadow self-healing for like a year. That's when you go back. Carl Jung. When you go back into the shadow, or you go in within the shadow, and then you see the shadow for what it is, and you see the bad traits, and it's not necessarily that the shadow is bad. It's just that the shadow is a mixture of everything that we fear to bring onto the outside because it has been deemed as unconventional by society. So I did that, and then I had to dig within myself to find answers and reasons as to why I acted out, why I did what I did. Because when I look at myself, I'm not a bully. So why was I doing that, you know? And I actually went to apologize. Like, imagine. Because she had also that specific girl that I was bullying from grade 1 to grade 2. Eh? Yeah, to grade 2. Like, these 2 years of her life were hell because of me, right? Turned out to be one of my closest friends. There's no way in life, right, where we don't find each other, me and that girl. We find each other always. She was there for my child's birth. She's one of my closest friends now. Like, in life, now. When my father dies, the first people that I call is her and another person. Do you see? Aha! Hello, 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 hello. Hiya. Hey, it's me. So after I did the shadow self-healing, right, I went into myself and then I also apologized. And the memory was, right, it was my cousin and I. I think, you know, even when I'm talking about it, if you can... You must start to read people, guys. You must start to read people so that you can become acquainted to other people's emotions and experiences. I am giving you this, ne? So that you can understand people. So you see, when I started talking about it, you see how my voice went a little bit down. That is still parts of me. You understand? That is still parts of me where the shadow comes out a little bit, but we are going to talk us because the shadow wants to hide things that you might feel embarrassed of and you might feel ashamed of, and they might make you feel small, and they might, you understand? So when we were like around 7 years old or so, I think I was 7 and my cousin was 6, most probably, roughly. There was this, we grew up in a typical Vambu home where your mom is the one that, or your parents are the ones that have made it to the city, and everybody from your village and everybody from your family comes and lives with you guys for greener pastures. So they come here and they go and, look for opportunities within the capital city, but they live here, right? And, my mom had a very good hand because most of the people that she had carried within her home have gone out to be sergeants, and have gone out to be heads of what and CEOs. She had a very good hand. And so we were in a house with like 17 people, and there was this particular uncle. Now this particular uncle was touchy-feely, but we always assumed that it is most now Uncle Love or what, I don't know. Yeah, Uncle Love. You know, because he would like, oh no, I'm preparing your clothes. He's, oh, come and sit here on my lap. Don't let your children sit on strangers' laps. Nobody's lap. When your kids are like 3, no more lap things. Or 2, no more lap things. The people that are sitting on laps are people that can't walk, you know? And it's only on parents, on their own parents, or your, you guys understand the agenda here. So, this, there was nothing really out of the ordinary because we were being taken care of by a village. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, and our home was a village. It was like filled. It was like 20 people, 24 people. And, this particular uncle had always had this lingering look, but we don't notice such things because we are almost already going through whatever. And mind you that, this is the time where I was now exposed to a lot of trauma through my eyes, and I started slowing down and keeping quiet. You guys will never believe that I was a very quiet person. I'm a very quiet person. Yeah. So, one day this uncle says, one day the housekeeper, Ingrid goes to the shops, right? And she left us at home, and she's like, no, I'm coming now. And he was there, and it was just the two of us, right? And the two girls, the two small kids, like it was me and my cousin, and he was there. And then Ingrid had gone to the shop. Ingrid is a housekeeper. She went to the shop, but I don't know what happened to Ingrid. I think she felt it in her spirit or something, because she didn't take long. So in the time that Ingrid left, this uncle dearest, he calls us into the bedroom, right? And then he says, we must take our clothes off. Now, we take our clothes off and we're just standing there. Then he says, we must lay down. And then he basically gets on top of us, but he's trying to penetrate, but things are not going through. So he's like trying to penetrate over here and trying to penetrate over here. This is triggerous. Don't cancel us. Before you continue, this is triggerous information that I'm giving out there, but I'm giving this out there so that we can have a community of camaraderie and a community where we can express these things freely, because it's not our fault. We didn't do anything. We didn't solicit nobody. We were children. And even if we were adults, we didn't solicit nobody. Okay, so he tried to penetrate, right? The both of us. He was like, hey, one, no, not going through. Let me try here again. And then at that point, Ingrid like runs into the house or runs into the yard, and we had like a wire. Until today, that house still has a wire. You know, the Auditor General's office, this house across, it was that house. So we lived in that house. Until today, I think it still has a wire, or they put something. So the gate made a noise, and this guy just got up. And when he got up, he told us like, get dressed. And so he didn't penetrate. But then this was now a memory that was popping up. So it was like coming like flashes. So imagine this, from 6-7 years old, this was something that I never remembered my whole entire life. Never remembered. And then one day when I was 27, it was like my mind unlocked it, which said, now is the time for you to deal with this thing and understand this thing. And this is something that has happened to you. I've never understood why I understood sexual violation to the core. I never understood why I could relate to people that have been sexually assaulted or sexually violated in one way, or made to feel uncomfortable within their skin, or somebody harassing them on their body. I've never understood why I could write. And for those that know, yeah, I am a writer. Okay. So for those, I write even in my poetry and even in the book, I wrote, you know, about sexual violation, but it was something that I've never experienced to my understanding. I've never experienced somebody violating me, touching me, or, you know, taking off, you know, trying to penetrate. I've never experienced it up until I turned 27 and I realized that this was a memory that I had in my head. I had it in my head, and my body was like, or my mind was like, it's time for you to deal with this one. Okay. So what happens is that when a memory is too painful, or when an experience is too painful, there are certain times when your mind locks it off because you can't identify, you can't grasp it, and you can definitely not understand what happened to you. And that is why sometimes you come back and then you're 27 years old and you're like, but why am I having this memory about Uncle Eagle, you know? And Kanti, it was real, and we worked on it, you know? Through therapy, we worked on it, and bam, I'm like, yo, it's okay. And it came at such a great time because I could understand. I could understand where all the anger and all the articulation and all the preciseness, you know, where it comes from. And I could now understand why there's a discomfort of some sort around Uncle Z or Uncle A, you know. And I could now understand where my need, you know, to be expressive came from to some degree, you know. And that's why we're talking about repressed memory or you know, something that has been locked away by your mind, and then it comes to the surface. When it comes to the surface like this, many of us don't know how to deal with it. Now imagine having a partner that's going through something like this, but they're not dealing with it the way I dealt with it. They are just having flashes of this uncle. They're just having flashes of this happening. Now you don't know if you're going to look for the housekeeper. I don't even know where Ingrid is. Are you going to look for the housekeeper? And what I also remember is that Ingrid asked us why we're naked. And he jumped in and said that they were going to bath. And also, that was the same, like after that year, my cousin was not allowed to come back. And up until today, I can't face her and ask her, like, yo, so. Do you think it also happened to you? Because I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't want to go and trigger somebody. And, you know, so I talk about it within my own right and within my own context and within my own journey. Because she was also like, her parents or her mom, they didn't allow her to come back. My grandmother neither didn't allow her to come back. They're like, yeah, you go back. So I don't know if there was a secret that was held or I don't know. So one day, right, when I was feeling bold and stuff, right, I found this person because he's a person from home, guys. Eh? It's not from family, but it's like a family friend. So this is, I found him the other day at the kuka shops, like there in Oniwe. And I told him, I know what you did. And I know what you tried to do. And just know that you're not going to mess with me like that. Yeah, I know what you did. You are lucky. You are lucky you are very sick. Because if you are not very sick right now, I'll just beat you up here. After that day, the way he's running. When he says, you know, we are meme now. Gone. It's like, then I know that he did it. We confront our fears just like that. And so now, this story was going is that imagine having a partner that's going through that and they don't know what's happening to them and they have no idea where this is coming from and they don't know if it's true or not, right? And you are the spouse. Are you going to tell your spouse? Imagine if you're a dude and something like this happened to you. Are you going to like openly talk about it? You would most want to figure it out first. So before you start talking. So now you are going through this, but you don't realize that it's affecting everything around you and you can't help it. Guys, nobody deliberately wants to be depressed. Nobody deliberately decides that, you know, I'm just going to be depressed from now on. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do nothing with my life. Nobody wants that. Nobody does that. You know, it just happens. It happens. It happens to the most of us. Sometimes people are even functioning depressed people. They can do everything that, like everything, right? And they're still going through what they're going through. Good evening, caller.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. All right, yeah. Do the right thing.
Oh, you do? Oh, still call me, huh?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, this has been a while, huh?
It's been a while, but you know. We ride with the motion.
Alright.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, so you're mixed, huh?
Yeah, I'm mixed. I'm a Banderu Ndonga.
What do you mean Banderu? Forget about, this is a Cherero.
No, bruh. No, we cannot do that just a Cherero. Nah. My father is a Banderu. How? As we are green. As we are green.
It's the same people anyway. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now look, I think it's in the, it's very shocking, you know, to hear that, but,
What is shocking? What is shocking. But hold the line for me. We're quickly going for a quick break, and then we will revert back to the conversation. Just please hold the line.
Stock up for August with Real Value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 High Baby Active diapers at only $124.99. See all our Real Value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law of the University of Namibia is pleased to present the hybrid face-to-face and online annual international conference on sustainability. Sustainable and Equitable Financial System, SEFS, to take place on the 21st and the 22nd of October 2025 in Windhoek, Namibia. Authors, young researchers, academians and practitioners are invited to submit their abstracts. The submission of abstracts deadline is the 3rd of September 2025. For more information, visit the university's website at www.unam.edu.na. Thank you so much. All right. Hey, good evening. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, just briefly, you know.
No problem.
If, you know, yeah, the culture or perhaps the tradition protects, you know, this kind of, you know, evil stuff, right?
Okay. What and exactly are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about
the ordeal, my ordeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So narrated, right?
Yeah.
So in that specific, you know, the culture sometimes protect these people. They are not, you know, they're untouchable. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you report them, or even if you tell somebody, those seniors, you know, the people, the elders, will even try to protect these, you know, these people.
Yeah.
So that's why people are, you know, depressed and.
Yeah.
When they grow up, you know, and they end up having suicide and stuff like that. So I think it's a very, you know, saddening situation. You know, where I think people should be really held accountable, you know, to, I think, to avoid this kind of stuff happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, when it comes to, you know, talking and, you know, communicating with the friends and what have you. But remember, you know, I think, people, you know, they only support you when you are dead. Do you know that?
I have a theory on why people support you when you're dead. The theory for me is that it is their last act of kindness towards you. It's not that people are malicious and people are bad, because we can't go through life assuming that people are malicious and bad, right? We can say that. It is their last act of kindness towards us, because when we are alive, right, everybody thinks that I'll support them next time. I'll support them next year. There's always time. We always assume that there's always time until there's no time. So I would like for us to move away from the narrative of people being monsters and being bad, and understanding that we are all here having a human experience, and this human experience, we are dealing with it differently. But when it comes to death, we all show up because it is our last act of kindness. We know that there's nothing that we will ever do for Elizabeth if it's not to buy her a coffin. There's nothing that I will never find her after 20 years and buy her a wig. I will never find her again and give her $20. So let's also look at it from that perspective. And then we can also look at it from the perspective of people usually only support when you are dead. But let's coexist with both ideas.
Yeah, of course. I hear you what you're saying.
I hear you.
But and it's just to me, you know, funny that, you know, this person, John, really struggling, you know, to go to, you know, work, you know, to perhaps, you know, have a bread, but you know that you have a $20 in your wallet. You're just failing deliberately to give him a $20. But when this person that this guy is your cousin, is your, you know, family
your
or
brother.
Friend, whatever, brother, what, you know. But when the person immediately, when he just passed away, you'll come with your cows and with your whatever, Benz, Mercedes Benz to the funeral.
Yeah.
What is that?
Mm.
But I hear you though.
But the problem with supporting somebody that is struggling, right, is that their struggle never ends. That's what I'm trying to say tonight, right? Their struggle never ends. Okay, I give him $20 today, and then tomorrow, and then they become my liability.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
But
at least at a funeral, I'm only giving this once. What's that? Hey, I'm only buying a coffin. Yeah? And then I don't have to spend on you again. But now, last week I bought bread. Then I bought electricity.
I was listening to you the other day that you're saying you only forgive four times, huh?
Yeah.
But you're a very interesting person. You know? Why don't you forgive forever, 70 times and 100 times?
Because I believe that there's only a certain amount of betrayal that one heart can take. And I give you four times. I give you an opportunity four times to mess things up. Because I believe that you're human and maybe you will learn from the time that I reprimand you. But when I see that you're incapable of being reprimanded and grasping and understanding me in your space, then I will let it go and I will walk away.
So if this person comes back in a change, will you still forgive him or not?
I can't forgive you after the fourth strike. Because the thing is with the strikes that I have, it's not small things. It's not small things that, you see how certain people can tolerate some things and others can't, right? You find a person that is being beaten every day and that's their relationship, but they stay, right? They can tolerate beating. They just can't tolerate you insulting their mother. Because you find somebody, the same person that has been beaten for 20 years, the day that their mother is insulted is the day they walk out of the relationship. Then you're like, oh, Mara, this small thing, you get it? Like, oh, an insult. Like, you could just forgive. Like, and the person says, I can't, you know? Because there are certain things that we can tolerate and there are certain things that we can't tolerate. Like for you, for example, you are a man that appreciates women that are cultured, women that sit in the beauty of being an African woman, being a well-kept woman, being a raised woman, and being a woman that is having the capabilities of submission and understanding her role culturally and also in a civil society as a wife, as a woman. That is the type of person that you are interested in. That's the type of woman that you have. You understand?
How do you know that?
Because, come on guys, we're doing this for 4 years. I know everything about you. I know your train of thought. I know how you think. I know what you like. I know everything. Guys, when I tell you I'm invested here, please. Eh? I'm really, really invested. Like, really, you guys are my friends. You guys are my cousins. We're family. But I know this about you. And I also know your thoughts. Like even the thoughts about the schoolgirls also cutting their hair and making them masculine. Now they are tomboys. And I know you. Please do the right thing. Okay.
Yeah,
so, what would break the ice for you specifically, right? Is a woman that disrespects you loud in the name of civilization. You will not stand for that.
All right then. All right. Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao. And that is why I have the strikes, right? Like if there are just certain things that you can't stand, and if it is done, you're like, no. Hello, sashimi. All right. So today we are most continuing with our conversations. And you know what, I'm going to get off the live. When I go and start talking about point two, I'm going to go off the live because Jellifistani, you guys don't want to download the app. You guys don't want to subscribe to our Facebook page. You guys don't want to share. Eh? You guys must share the Facebook page. Share the Facebook page. Share the Instagram page. Share. So that we can fill this thing up. So that's why I'm going to give you guys a half show. Not because my battery is low.
Jesus said you must not lie. Okay, my battery is low and I didn't bring a charger, so let's ride out these 15 minutes, okay? When the phone is at 5%, then I'll say adios. Bye-bye. I think we still got a good 20 minutes. You know, let's see if this 15% can carry us. So basically, there are certain ways where we can look at ourselves and we can understand that, hey, there are certain things that are above me and beneath me, and there are certain things that I cannot understand. And that is why when we're going through life, we have to learn how to support our spouses. Our spouses, and not just our spouses, but our everybody. Let's learn, okay? So the first thing that we do is active listening. I explained that to you guys in depth. And now we are moving to number two. Number two is empathy and reassurance. So we have to have empathy. Empathy is that thing that's next to sympathy. So empathy is like, oh, like, yeah, you know, I must feel what you're feeling and understand what you're feeling. And sympathy and empathy is like that. You must basically be, you know, capable of understanding and probably imagining and feeling the way the other person is feeling to some degree, right? This is how we are going to practice sympathy and empathy. Like, you must understand that this that they are going through, regardless of what you think about what they are going through, right, is something that is affecting them. You guys tend to say things. You know what? You know what yanks my chain? You know what yanks my chain, guys? Somebody saying that my problem is not as big as other people. Okay, so I failed one module and I'm devastated. And then somebody will come and say, at least you didn't fail the whole year. Bro, can we validate my thing? I failed. Yeah, but at least you didn't fail the whole year. Yes, but I still failed here. Can we validate the fact that I failed here and I feel bad here? Can we do that? Because, so, just because I didn't feel the whole year, I must not feel bad. Well, what are you saying? Huh? Oh, I feel bad that I was in a car accident. At least you didn't die. Like, what's wrong with you people? Like, you know, when I... change, man. What's wrong with you people? At least you didn't die. Like, okay, I get it. I didn't die. But, bro, I was in a car accident. I'm traumatized. People died. Others. Other people from other houses, they died. Yeah? I didn't die, but I still feel bad. Like, at least you didn't die, so you're fine. What do you mean I'm fine? I'm hearing the screams. There's a boy that watched, was it an Iveco? There's a boy that stood on the side of an Iveco and watched people burn and die in that Iveco. And we still have the audacity to call him lucky. Is that luck or is that trauma? Is that boy not scarred for life? Are we not encouraging therapy there? Eh? At least, like, am I supposed to be happy that I made it and I watched people die? Come on. Let's encourage therapy, guys. Let's validate other people's emotions, which are, yeah, like, it must have been scary. Like, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. I'm so sorry you went through that. I'm sorry. Like, how are you coping? You guys don't want to talk about those things. I know, what are you afraid of? You people are so afraid of your emotions. That's why you guys are beating each other and killing each other there in your houses. Eh? Because you cannot just tell the person, kucha, speak nicely to me, please. Eh? I come from a place where we were all just shouting and screaming, and every time you shout and scream, you make me feel some type of way. I get scared or my heart jumps out. So now I'm just in fright or flight mode. So please assist me. Even when you're angry, I understand that you're angry and you have to express yourself also. But I also just want you, I want you to know this so that maybe, I can regulate myself and you can regulate yourself. Right? That's honest. That's true. But we don't want to do that because I don't know why we don't want to do that. You're stuck with somebody for the rest of your life. Eh? You're married to this person for the rest of your life. My dear, talk. What's the worst that could happen? Are they going to divorce you because you're emotional? Who are they going to tell? Their parents? The parents that love you? Like, bro, talk the truth, man. I'm feeling bad because they're at my job. My boss is just doing bad things. Speak, eh? Like, let's just talk about it. So, and validate each other. Like, oh, your boss is really bad. You know? Now I don't feel like I'm crazy for feeling that my boss is bad. Because at least you hear and understand why I'm saying the person is bad. I'm telling you, yes, my boss in the morning, he buys everybody coffee in the office, and me, I don't get. He's discriminating against me because Ndazaya Kenis, and everybody at work is having natural hair always. You know? You know, we just, So let's validate it, Kucha. That's really bad. As a boss, the boss is not supposed to do that. The boss is not only supposed to buy everybody coffee. And also, if he doesn't like Ekenisha, you know, he can just tell you, and then you can also just pop out your afro or whatever. We can take the week off, guys. It's not a big deal. But, you know, but at least hear me and understand me. Understand, Kucha. It makes me feel uncomfortable, you know? Validate. There's nothing worse than being in a situation where you have a friend that hates you, but is always with you. Or you have a lover that hates you or jealous of you, but they're always with you. Like, what the, like you say, oh, this looks nice. And they say, it would look bad on you. It's like they're just there to come and break you down every moment they get. Like, woo! Preach. All right. So, empathize. Try to understand their feelings from their point of view. Imagine how you would feel if a situation like this was your reality. Try and imagine. So imagine you come to work and you are not getting a tear. Like you would feel bad most. So try and, you know, when somebody tells you something, like I was in a car accident and people passed away in this car accident, and I still hear their screams and their cries. I still see their body parts, and I feel like I don't deserve life. And that's what I've been feeling lately. Now, when somebody tells you like that, right? You must not say, be grateful that you are alive. Don't tell me what to think and feel. No. What you're supposed to say is, what you're supposed to actually do, not even say, is put yourself in a bus where everybody dies. And when I mean everybody, I'm not talking about a gang of strangers that you haven't spoken to. Because let's say hypothetically this bus is filled with cool people. So from the minute you sat down, you were talking to the driver, you were talking to the co-pilot, you were talking to everybody inside that car. The guy from the back even sent you a beer to the front. And you guys were talking about your lives, and it was a gang of young people. So you guys were vibing. People were talking about their futures. People were talking about their arguments, and you guys were having fun. Right? And in picture it, that you sat there for like 2 hours waiting for the bus to get full, right? And when this bus finally got full, you were basically friends, at least friends for the ride. And then at the end of the day, you had to watch these same people that you vibed with, that had plans, that you laughed with for that moment. You had to watch them die. So the question is, right? Can you not put yourself in those kind of shoes? It would feel terrible. If we can be haunted by movies, right? Then what about something that we see in real life? So ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying bye. I'm saying bye, and I'm also saying, Kucha, you know, download the app, listen to your girl. The frequency is 104.0 in Windhoek City, and also learn to call in and learn to fraternize with the help. And let's do this. But I'm saying goodbye because I'm at 5%, and if I don't log off, this whole live will just vanish. So from me to you, Facebook people, I'm saying ciao, ciao, au revoir. You guys can follow me onto the Eagle FM app so that you can continue the conversation, but it's going to be audio and not visual. So I know that you guys imagine all the facial expressions that I'm doing right now, but then use your imagination. That's what radio is.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. All right. We missed that one. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about emotionally supporting our spouses. We're talking about emotional support. We're talking about how to support someone that we love, that is dear to us. And the tricky part about a spouse is that you spend all your time with this person. And all your time, by all your time, I mean all the time that you're at home, because 90% of our lives is most at work. So that 10% that you spend every holiday, weekends, and after work, and before work, and if you guys are working from home, you guys are in each other's space. So what happens when your spouse is having an emotional breakdown and they are in emotional distress? How do you support them through that? We talked about active listening for the past 2 days, and we talked about what it is and how to go about it, and the difference between that one and supporting somebody financially, and etc. And then we went on to active listening and how to go about it, how to do it, and what not to say, please. And we gave examples. We've even given examples of emotional turmoil within a human being. Imagine. Good evening.
Your Majesty.
Good evening, my dear. How are you? We're upbeat today. We're live. We're up and about.
Yeah. So, okay. Like, I didn't get time to listen to...
to the radio.
No, uncle doing the most with you people.
Uncle was just perverted. Uncle was just odd. Uncle was just, whoa. Yeah? Bad. He was bad. But he got the karma that he was seeking for so badly. He got the karma. He's not a happy man. So now, he's not a happy man. Yeah, so now he's just living a very miserable life. After that, like, karma just dealt with him. He was the only one out of the bunch of people that never got a job. Like, literally, he never got a job. Like, nobody ever employed him. He never got a job. He had to go back to the village. He got sick as well, like the sick that we, you know, we feared, that one. And he gets beaten by his wife. He recently got married. Yeah. So he gets beaten. And he's not living a happy life. So even when I see him, I toss him like a $10, you know. I'm a nice person.
How come we don't get any, especially people like us, don't get anything from you?
From me? You guys get me, guys. No, listen.
Okay. I've got an ask for you. Which one has been the biggest influencer of your life?
The biggest influencer in what way? Like,
your mother or your father? Let's start with the parental
figure. With my parents. When I was younger, I had a different answer. But now that I am older, I see traits within them that affected my life in both a negative way and a positive way. There are positive attributes of my mom that I carry, and then there are also negative attributes of her life choices that I also carry that also traumatized me to some degree. Mm-hmm. And then with my dad, because I had two fathers, generally I had three, but we count the two that, you know, biological and last stepfather. Yeah, those two. So, the one thing that my mom also, the one gift that I would never forget or that I would never downplay is her marrying my stepdad. For me, it was the void that I have had for such a long time that was filled. Like, you know how people get step parents and then step parents are not nice. Like my dad was a superstar.
Yeah, I remember you once said he accused you of the condoms.
No, that was a boyfriend.
Oh.
You see? Bad choices. That was a boyfriend. I'm talking about marriage. My stepdad that was married to my mom was immaculate. He was a good father to me. An excellent father to me. He came to fill the void of a father that I longed for such a long time. You know, when you don't have something, you long for it. And then when you get it, you're like, okay, so this is what it feels like. So now you understand why people are daddy's girls and daddy's boy. You understand because now you get to experience it. And I experienced it fully with my stepdad because my stepdad was amazing. He was a nice man. He had his flaws. He had a drinking problem.
No,
he was an addict. He was the bad kind of addict. The addict that goes with 10,000 and comes back being paid taxi for. Yeah, that kind. The kind that makes his wife angry. Yeah. The one that you know, pamatumuire pantu. But that man has never raised his voice at my mother. He was never aggressive. He has never beat my mother. He has never insulted my mother. He has loved my mother. I used to say that if I could get a love like the love that my dad had for my mother, then I would be happy. He was a loving man. He was my mother's friend. It took my mother such a long time, right, to find camaraderie within us even, because that was her friend. You know, they used to talk on the phone, even when he was away. They used to talk on the phone for like 5 hours. And then the hour finished and then they call each other. Mara, nashita apopine. We're like, these people are old. What are they talking about? They die or I'm telling you. And his mouth never dries. He was so talkative. There was a day, you know, I used to braid for money, okupanda, for money, you know, and I was gathering this money now to support my son and to also, launch my book.
at the time. And so I didn't have a set up a space. So my mom, said that I could work from home basically. So my customers used to come there to the house. And, oh, I was so embarrassed that day, my God. So my dad comes home and, hold the line.
Young Namibians who have recently turned 18 years old, the time has come for you to take your first step in exercising your constitutional right of voting. Register as a voter during the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. Uphold your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right and register to vote.
Alrighty. So this is in Windhoek, my dear. Yeah, in suburbia. And he comes home, no ka faifa ko tombo, for real, otombo ayoye na rotombo. Eh? And he comes and I'm there now with my customer and we are sitting in the sitting room was now. And mind you, ne, that the customer is a complete stranger that is coming to you for a service. Right?
I'll automatically assume that you consume the same brew.
How eh? That's his things. Oh my God.
Me as a customer now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll assume that.
I was not even thinking about that, my dear. I was just thinking about the poor girl that had to decline this man's otombo. Oh my God. Oh. And then, my God. I apologize 10 times. That's when the client even said, Kuja, no, even my father is like that. We're also just struggling with the same thing. There's a day we almost got beaten by the taxi driver in our house because we got a taxi and then he said his wife is going to pay and then his wife is like, me, I don't have money. And then the taxi driver, okwea non vibomembo, my dear, and then he took our remotes. Because at the time, none of us had money, not even like 26, ayokumpane, none of us. He's a kwambi. Oh, brah. Yeah, the men were so angry. He took our remotes until today. Well, hey, up with that word drama. And the nice thing about him, he was a friendly drunk. So there was no day that he's coming and you want to run away. There's never that. If anything, ne, that man can tell a story for days. Wait a combat, another type of Nigeria, and can't type of piche. Uzo zimburu kisanjo tare. Oh, ito popi. Anyway, I always remember, like, oh, ito popi, shumimuri combat, kokombinga, ko Zambia. Okay. Chitwari ko Zambia, my dear. He was lovely. He even caused my fear of cars because he was driving us and we got into an accident at the Onopa Yoposhakati. Parapurandi Kwambomo. Yeah. Nanion sani kuza kerombe, tia kerombike, mokantini kombea. Because he's not supposed to drink. By the time we go to a shakati on sanokwa nat. He couldn't even walk when he got out of the car. But the problem, I don't even know how we didn't smell it. He was not really talking. Because if he talks, then the breath must.
Oh, yeah.
So, to wait a neon to tanu mea, we mo kantini. Tibi. When he started talking, when we got out of the car, when we bumped one car and a car behind us bumped it and the other car was written off, it almost went into on top. Like, it was a mess. I'm telling you. Like, until today, I've got a fear for cars. Like, that's where my trauma for cars comes from. But But the way he got out of the car, you couldn't even be angry with him on Okwakora Naiman. Yes. Prefer to think it in the policy. Prefer. Oh, how don't I tweet to any game hanonga and tiko sepo manga? Chanda koruwa se tatu posenine. Kusongozi on kurukazi wanjenga kantinongozi yanchon de kanisa komsia. How? You must imagine his wife. Like, ah. Oh, man! It was a comedy. Yeah, so, where I am, I take the good and I take the bad. I take both. And I can say that, yeah, I can say that they have shaped me in ways I don't like and ways that I do like. Because of the lack of a father figure from a tender age, right? Has brewed insecurities of abandonment within me and inadequacies within me that I had to work on for a very long time. And occasionally at some spaces in my life, I still feel unworthy to be loved. I still feel like nothing. So part of my learning experience was also putting myself in their shoes, because I am their age now, right? And yeah, asking myself the question of, if I were in a relationship, I'm an adult right now, and I'm not with the father of my firstborn, right? Why? Because the relationship didn't work out. So was I supposed to stay in a relationship that was not working out simply because I had a child with this person? Or was I supposed to preserve myself and hope that one day my child will come to me? That was the question. And looking at it, because I've heard my mother's side, but my dad, right, has never said his side. Even when he was alive, because both of them, are late now. So my biological father has never said his side of the story of what really happened between the two of them. But I figured that what my mother said was true, because my mother is not a good liar. I think that is one of the qualities that I get from her. She's really bad at it, so she just doesn't do it. But then if you don't know her, you would associate her to brutal. Yeah, you would associate her to brutal. And that is where I get my displays of brutal honesty to some degree, but also hurtful to some degree. But luckily, I've been working on it. You know, so there are some times that I can tell you something really hurtful.
Take both compliments and criticism all at once.
Yes. So that is how I view my parents. So I can say that I've been influenced by their actions and the lack of action as well.
All right.
Because even, you know, when I was 27, I think my mom has a problem with painful experiences. Because she has gone through the war. And then before that, she also came from a very traumatizing household. You know, she was a stolen child. Her mother went to steal her from her father's house.
You?
Yeah. Deep. So, and then she was also abused there by her mother's house, you know, beaten for nothing and all of that. So she's, and I can tell you honestly that my mother is not a beater. So I didn't grow up being beaten by my mother. I grew up being beaten by my brother. Like beaten, like beaten so much that it turned to child abuse and child endangerment, where we had to be split, and then he was sent to KwaZulu-Natal to go and live with his family. Because you have to choose one child, because the other one is almost trying to kill the other one. And that animosity still lives until today. Until today, we don't see eye. Like, until today, he hates me.
So the reason he was shipped on the other side?
Yeah. To his family. Yeah. It's because he was beating me. Black and blue, my friend. Blue eye, nose bleeds, and it was so bad that I even became a bully at school.
He's got the anger issues.
No, he does. He does have serious anger issues. And that was also a reflection. The thing is that I understand so much, and I know so much, right? I understand why he is the way he is. His dad died when my mom was 3 months pregnant. Like, literally, he has never met his dad. And then he was born in exile. And then he was also shipped off to go and live with an auntie because his mother was sick. His mother was going through depression. And we are still in the war. Regardless of your emotions and what you're going through, we are still fighting for the independence. And then she couldn't take care of him, and then he was shipped to go and grow up there with his grandmother. And the whole time, and my mom is very affectionate. So she goes and visits her kids wherever they are. So at the time she would go like twice a year. She'll go to KZN. Twice a year to go and stay there for a month to visit her child. And part of the cries that the child had was, when am I also going to be with you full time?
Oh, yeah.
Because now I'm just here and everybody's having their mother.
Well, I don't have my...
I don't have my mother and I don't have my father. I'm just having my grandmother, Gogo.
Mine isn't here with me as well.
Hey. So that is his life and his pain that he carries. And then now there's also a little sister that's there in the same country, and he's thinking that this little sister is there being smothered in cake and ice cream. Marakanti, me, I'm in Ovitoto, Brur. Because at the time, my mother was also looking for work. So now she goes to town. You know, when she tells me her stories, right? There's a level of understanding, you know? You understand, bro. You understand. You know, tavern. Yes. That's my mother's brother's, my mother's brother. Yeah. So basically, before they were like accommodating the house, like right now, there was most now, my aunt and Kukulinusa and Huhu, and they used to sleep like on the floor. And even when it's raining, it was tough. And then she has to go and look for work because at the time she moved out of my dad's house because she doesn't want to be with him anymore because he's bringing girls into the house and she's pregnant. You see, so she moved to there, to uncle's place, and then she used to walk now to town. Eh? Itatumunena Western Union ahuya kwa hea ko Sherry. Oponesho kana ka ningine omfura kutaka iko vitoto. So all that pain of not being with your kids because you financially can't, and then your kids are also out there thinking that our mothers is just in Windhoek. Luckily, me, I was small. I didn't really think my mother was anywhere because I was just with my grandmother. And then my grandmother is an only child. And her mother was an only child. And then my dad is an only child. So at the time, I was my dad's second born. But he had this tendency of replacing childcare methods with the present child. So when my older brother from my dad's side went for holiday, I went to go and stay with my grandmother. And then when he had to come back to my grandmother, my dad declined.
Wow.
Because apparently his mom can't take care of many kids. You know, I've never met him, my older brother from my dad's. I've never met him. He committed suicide. in England. Hectic. I know, right? So when I went for holiday when I was 3 years old, right? When it was time to take me back to my grandmother, right? Novitoto now. The pattern continued. My younger brother Noko was taken to my grandmother, and the answer was that his mother cannot take care of many children. So I had to now be shipped to Oniwe, Kunakurek, because at the time my mother was still not stable. So that's where I got my herero, and then I got my ndonga, kuchanga ndakaramo village Amoshiri. I only came back to Windhoek to start Okinda.
Everything else to know about a human, a woman, is fused within you.
Yeah. So now I'm excited when I come most now to Windhoek, because now I get to see my parents. My mother had a green tight. Every time she wears that green tight, she must beat up somebody. Okay, Tata, no, when she wears it, ne? Utshia kucho punon tuta dengwanin. Ya waya dengwanin, ikalale. Ish, that would chofo. But she didn't beat kids. She beat big people, adults. She was a fighter. One of those guilty akusoman yams.
But now they are raising the young ones.
They are raising Utekuru like their eggs. I'm like, so there's a lot that I've learned. And also, my dad, I wrote my dad a very stern letter when I was in grade 5. And after that letter, he made it a point to see me at least twice a year. Mm-hmm. You know what the worst part was? That we were neighbors with my dad, ne? Bro. Like for real, legit, we were neighbors. If you know the houses there at Kenya House, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That side of Transnamib, there are most those houses there.
Yeah.
One of them is my dad's house. Then that side of the vet, that's my mother's house. But 2 years can pass and I didn't see my father. I only see his car. Yeah. So that in itself played a role. But then I think that I've been blessed enough, right, to have older men, asane, akuruntu, that step in when he betrays me in life. Because even his death for me was betrayal. Yeah. But then you know who stepped in when my dad died? John Walenga and Wanda. Automatic, they just became my dads. Like, they would call, like, hey, how are you doing? Tukuvite? Eh? I hear your sorrow, like that they were. Would call and say, kuchai, because he listens, right? He would call and say, kuchai, I hear your sorrow, you know, about everything that you're going through. I hear you. Yeah, keep going. Don't worry. Kapuno shikukutu, kapuno shike, ya shihur. Shikukutu ya shihur. Yeah. So, like, and even when in my childhood, my uncle Kukushudi, that guy is going to walk me, like, through life, that one. That one used to walk me to school every day. I made him a promise that I'll buy him a car. So every time I take him something there, he's like, oh, how do I enjoy it? And then andre gararonje kem, andre andrombru kwea no ngaku no suta, eh? It's my father that I got. So somewhere, somehow, I always say that many of us cry about the people that we wanted to want us, but we don't appreciate the people that didn't have to want us. And I mean, didn't have to be there for us. And they chose intentionally to be there for us. Is that not emotional support?
It is.
It is. Because when my dad died also, I did a very hurtful thing. And I called myself an orphan. And it was rightfully so, because I was, you know, I God becomes the father of the orphans. And it's a thing that I was told at my stepdad's funeral, kuja hekerekwa karungo tatewothiwa. Because he was a big deal. My stepdad was a very big deal to me. And then when my biological father passed away, it hit me so hard. At first I was okay, and then it came to hit me. And then when it hit me, I called myself an orphan. And for a while, I didn't think about it. It was just my existence. And then one day I realized that I'm not actually an orphan. I have a mother. Yeah. And how can I be so cruel? Right? To throw this in this woman's face every day, like she doesn't matter. You know, my mom used to come to the room, and I lived in the outside room at the time at home. She would come to my room, and then she would knock, and I would open the door, and then she's like, "Otori di tate ko yeng kero." Like, oh, yewa, de kwe tero nanate. You know, so I was not an orphan. I'm not an orphan. I just lost a dad. I lost a couple of dads, but I still have a mom. And then I also have dads that have stepped in. Like really, really stepped in. So I've learned a lot. So my biggest influence in my life is life in general. Because of the way I look at life and the way I look at our experiences and how I understand them. That could be my biggest downfall, but it could be my biggest gift at the same time.
A blessing in disguise.
Maybe, or a curse. We don't know, bruh. Ah, we out here, we don't know. You know, I used to cry so much. Like on this radio, I used to cry so much. Now pay finger in me. I'm almost a mania. This year I only cried 2 times. Okay, 3 times. Only 3 times. I remember when I used to cry in a week, I used to cry like 4 times here on this radio.
No.
I'm telling, oh man. But you guys emotionally supported me through my darkest times.
Oh, well, in a way we do, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's why we're talking about the importance of emotional support, because I think that many of us are waiting for the conversation to look a certain way. We are waiting for somebody to say, "Oh my goodness, I just want to commit suicide, you know, because life is not nice." Sometimes you just tell the person, "Because I'm so disappointed in this person." And nobody continues the conversation from there, or nobody even asks you why. Hey, nobody continues like, "Oh, okay," you know, and then the conversation stops. And that's when you come to a point where you feel like nobody listens, because nobody really listens. Everybody talks. There's nobody that doesn't talk. Everybody talks. It's just a matter of how you receive it. Everybody talks about their situations. Whether it's through body language or verbally or routine changing or behavior changing, everybody talks. It's just a matter of hearing what is being said, even when nothing is being said.
Yeah, when you say, like, there's even a song that said, "You said it best when you say nothing at all."
You say it best when you sing, the smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a look in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch on your hand says you'll catch me whenever I fall. You say it best, you say it best when you say nothing at all.
Here we hear you.
Thanks. Struggle never loses me, my dear. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So, I'm just a walking time bomb waiting to explode. I hope that the day I explode kindness and love. I hope that my legacy is truth, respect, love, kindness, and hard work.
People that show up without saying a word.
My dear, I just want to show up.
Especially the one that comes with the green flex.
Ne? Which one? John has green flags. Good things.
But like, new people talk about red flags and everything.
Yeah, really. Green flags are nice. Great things, Moose. Yeah, Nandi. Nice.
So, well, like somebody just, somebody to assure you that I'll be off my phone for 2 minutes. I'll holler at you time I get back. You see?
Yeah.
Assurance,
validation. Which I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, and you are right to feel the way you do. Can we? Can yes. Yes, accountability.
Yeah, like green flags.
Yes, nice things.
Action that match the talk.
So how would you say that if you were to emotionally support somebody, how would you say empathy and reassurance looks like? Like, how would you reassure somebody?
Taking time to understand your triggers. Respectfully speaking and about your past, and then whatever makes you feel less of a human, checking in just because.
Yeah.
There are many. There are many things to pick from.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit just to divert, like, how's your family doing?
Yeah.
I made your favorite meal.
I'm still there. Like I'm still that. Reassuring that you matter, you are important, and this is also for your well-being. I think that we must learn to stay on the conversation until the person that created the conversation chooses to redirect the conversation.
Yeah, like it's mostly found like when you made people to forget about, to divert them from realization, you know, to let their minds wander. Yeah, like knowing that I'm there with you every step of the way. Yeah, like when life is hard, I'm here.
And when life is nice, umnandi so, I'm here.
Take me back.
My dear. Lovely things. When it's amazing, I'm here. When it's raining, I'm here. Sometimes the rain is not always bad. Sometimes it also comes with good things. We must learn to see conversations as they are. We must learn to listen to people's words and choice of words instead of emotions. Because if somebody says, kucha, okana hea saroka laiman, you cannot say, I know, Arika, tomo no kam.
Oh.
but people do that. People do that. People really honestly do that. So how about, right? We ask questions like, oh, so why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? I'm saying that because, then I can elaborate, and then I can talk about it, and then I can fururuka praise, and then I can let it go, and I can leave it. Now you winner.
If only life has a reset button.
No. Me, I wouldn't want to reset. At tamukulula. No.
No.
Do you never kindanga? Aye.
Not from the very beginning. But right from where we are right now. Just think about it, to reset, not from the beginning, but in this moment. Yeah, like knowing that everything we carried together, we still have them.
But a reset button means everything is being reset. It's not just the bad, it's the good also. So I wouldn't want a reset button, because then that would mean I would lose all my good also.
Yeah.
I don't want to sacrifice my good.
It's not about sacrificing.
I would rather live with the bad than lose my good. Why do you want to reset? Let's go there. If you could reset, which parts would you reset?
the part that hurts.
Which one? Because there are so many hurtful things. If you didn't go through the pain that you had gone through, do you think that you would be a sensitive father that is present?
No.
Will you just not go and drop your kids there at your parents and go? Would that not be your reality? Would you watch your kids grow? Would they know what you know? Because me, I know that that's not the person that you're going to be.
The things that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Mostly, it's not like I have a lot of people out there that I can leave my kids with.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. I can only depend on me.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I've realized about we human beings? The thing that hurts us the most is the expectations, right? But I've also noticed that we romanticize dead people. Hear me out before you become emotional, angry. We romanticize dead people because they don't live to the future. Yes, they don't get to the future. So there is nothing bad that we can say about them in the future because they didn't get to the future. So what happens is that, for example, for me now, what happens is that I would have a painful emotion because I'm walking down the aisle and I don't have a dad to walk me down the aisle. And I sure as hell ain't going to be walked down the aisle by my brother. Never. No. You know? And that would be like, if my dad was here, you understand? And this is now an emotion that can linger and it can get a person depressed, you understand? But what I've come to terms with, it's the fact that we don't like to see many people in their true form, in their reality before they passed on. Like for me, for example, if I had to have that kind of narrative, oh my God, so I'm not going to be walked down the aisle when I get married by my dad or even my stepdad, you know, like, oh my God. The reality is, right, that my dad was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. How sure am I that this guy is going to show up to the wedding? Is he not going to be sloshed and forget?
Oh, my
God. Now I want to romanticize him because he's dead? He has missed.
He will show up hammered.
If he ever shows up because
by the time he wakes
up, everybody's back in the house. So, like, bro. That's when he's waking up. So just because he's dead, now I want to make it seem like he was this great person. But he had flaws. So can I not live with the fact that it could have went well or it couldn't have gone well? Either way, we'll never know because he's not here. I find people, my cousin was one of those people. Her mom died when she was 5. So she grew up with her dad, who happens to be my mother's brother. So she's my cousin since forever. And her mom passed away and her dad married a very bad woman that mistreated her so badly. And part of the tears that she used to cry was that, if my mom was alive, then we would have probably not been here. She would have left this guy and we would have been living in Kleinventuk and living a good life, you understand? Because we idolize and we visualize and all of that. And I was okay with it for a while, you know, listening to this, you know, when she cries. I just wish my mom was here, you know, I miss my mom, you know, stuff like that. I got accustomed to it, but you know, also I've got this 4-strike thing. Like, yeah, you do something 4 times. Then I'm like, whoa. And then one day I pulled her aside and I said that you need to stop that. You need to stop fantasizing about a future or a life that your mom was something that she wouldn't have been, because you are killing your heart. One, your mom was a housekeeper.
Okay.
So, which house in Clean Ventuka are you talking about? And also, if she didn't find the power to leave your dad when she was alive, right? What makes you think that she would have ever left?
Oh, that one's up to pill to swallow.
No, it's, but we love each other. We love each other, me and her. We are sharpshooters.
Yeah.
We are sharpshooters. She also tells me some hard truths. You know, that like, I know that person, Kazi.
Over the years, I've learned that people heal in spaces where judgment is absent.
Yeah. People want to heal in places, but I believe that they don't really heal. They don't heal because judgment is not present, and judgment is a process that is intertwined with healing. So, and then there was also, how sure are you that you would have had a good life? Really? Because the life that she afforded you or awarded you when she was here, was it brilliant? Yeah, ever since that day, we just say thank you that she gave birth to us. And we suffer and then we say like, oh, I wish I had a job. Not I wish my mother's here. Like, we already know how that one goes. So that is the romanticizing of dead people that many of us do, because it's difficult to place them in a light where they are not perfect. You know, my aunt has like one strike left until she gets the talk from me, because she speaks of my uncle in a light of a doer. Yeah, when she speaks about my uncle, she speaks of him in a light of a doer. Those guys that come home and they do a lot at home and tatuli samomea no tatuantungita shike and you know uigandina shendeka. And she speaks about him in that way because I think that part of the grief process is that we forget that person's true nature. Or we forget everything that was bad about them. So now she's got like one more strike for me to sit her down and tell her, hey, listen. Yeah? Like, I'm tired now. Like, yeah. Listen. One, your brother left this house and you yourself, you and me, we are the ones that built this house.
Mina Nawe,
my friend. And now you want to come and give the credit and say that, no, if he was alive, he would have put in electricity. Dude, this person is the type of person that comes to the house, drops his bags and go and sleeps in Ondangwa at his friends. His same friends that didn't come to his funeral.
You see, these are the things where, you know what's more painful, I think?
Yeah.
When your biggest effort is ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And your smallest mistake
is recognized.
Is judged.
Yeah, but we thrive on that. We thrive on seeing the worst in people. You know, I'm one of those people that don't like to do wrong things, because one thing that I have figured out with my ancestors and my angels, my guardian angels and my God and my life, right, is that people find it difficult to forgive me. Extremely difficult to forgive me, because they assume that I should know better.
Oh.
Yeah, like, if I just woke up and I resigned, like today, you will never forgive me. First of all, I'm not saying stay at your job if you're unhappy. I'm saying let us know and wean us into it. You know, because that's what we expect from you. Eh? Tell us and prepare us. Now you just live just like that. There is something that is reassuring, ne, in knowing that I stand on my word. Kucha, if the matriarch was ever to leave, ne, she would tell us. And you would not forgive me if I just up and left. But other people up and left and then you forgave them. People find it difficult to forgive me because they assume that I should know better. And this is something that I have seen all over. That's why I refrain from being wrong.
But you should have put in consideration of our feelings as well.
You see, yeah. Yeah, I must think about you guys. Yeah.
You created this.
Yeah, of course. Right? Yeah, you created this. Like, it's your fault.
You don't just create a heaven for us.
And then you just leave. Like, what's wrong with you exactly?
How did you?
Even if I have a broken leg, I must come. come and tell us you have a broken leg. Let's hear the pain through your voice. Exactly.
No, you don't just jump and then the bus will drive itself.
Exactly. You know? And that is why I try my level best to not do wrong things. I've never not been at work, ne? And not given a doctor's letter. I've never not been at work and just chilled at home and not gone to the doctor.
Oh.
Yeah. I've never stayed at home for something. I can come to work coughing. There was a day in there that I was at work and I was coughing. I had this cough, but it was like that gangster cough that after every 3 minutes you are coughing, right? And by then it was, I didn't know that a person you can mute the mic. So I never even used to go on breaks because I didn't know how to mute the mic. And I didn't know how to do, like, until today, I don't even know how to take somebody off air. For real, people think I'm lying when I say it, but I don't. And I think that is also the niche of the show because a lot of people have told me very embarrassing things. Then Dihara Noko Radio the other time by this guy, like, Nomi, I like you a lot. I think his name was Eames. Yeah, I like you a lot. And I've got a very good memory. Because I can't take them off the thing. So that day when I was coughing a name, Tate Walenga was listening. And then he said, just mute the mic when you're kololaling. Oh. I didn't mute the mic. I know like if I switch it off, then obviously they can't hear me. So that's most probably muting the mic. And that's how I started muting the mic when I cough. But I will come to work even if I'm coughing after 3 minutes. Because I believe that if I become, if I'm ever bad, ne? Like, I will not be forgiven for being bad that once. Because Tate Walenga will just say, you should have known better. Like really, there must just not be any record of me being bad. Because people find it difficult to forgive me. Like, Elizabeth didn't come to work and she didn't give a doctor's letter. She just chilled. And there was no excuse, no nothing. She just came back to work the next day like nothing happened. Let her go home. Like, really, that is something that would happen to me. And that's why I always do things correctly in my life. Like, I believe that I must not steal your things because, right, when I cross the street, a car will bump me. My dear, I believe, like, I cannot cheat on a test, ne? Because the minute I start to cheat on a test, the teacher will catch me. I'm not destined. Yeah, I'm not destined to be a crook in any way. I'm not destined to lie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. In the minute, like, in the minute that I do something wrong, like, I'm caught instantly. Like, instantly. Like this. That's why I tell the truth. So that even if you ask me tomorrow, that's why you can even say, Kucha, yeah, that stepfather of yours that accused you of the condoms. And because it is the truth, right? I can even say, Kucha, no, that was a boyfriend. But yes, that happened. You understand? Because I'm telling the truth. Because if I come here with lies, ooh, I know. So I do things correctly because people find it. I can do something, one bad thing to you, ne, and you'll never forgive me. Even if I've done all the best things in the world, ne, you just never forgive me. It's just not my destiny. It's not my destiny to do bad things. Because 98% of the time, I know that this is a bad thing. So if I'm intentionally doing something harmful, karma finds me very quickly. The karma is like, whoa. Just that time when I'm about to say yes. Eh? A phone call just comes in. Then you give the phone back and then the person notices that you're trying to steal their airtime. You see? Like just like that. You're like, how? But other people, other people can steal, Namco money, oil one. Ah. Apparently. Let's say apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, but hey, they can go for years, 12 years. Nothing happened to them. You small okareko, I can't believe you stole my sweet. Then the person goes on, my dear. Like, I'm sorry. I'm beauty. Like, yeah.
So. Thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, about emotional support and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are in the era where, okay, let me refer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mental load.
Please. Mm-hmm.
Mental load.
Mm.
See, have you ever tried to think of it as like, you know, on a computer,
mm-hmm.
you have too many tabs.
Yeah.
Open in your brain.
Mm.
While trying to, like everything is trying to work at the same time,
yeah.
Especially, when it comes to parenthood, né? Mm-hmm. People think that the world outside, people think that you have it easy.
Mm.
But it's invisible.
Yeah.
It's expected and necessary.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than being a parent. It's bad here. I understand why people run away from their kids.
The mental load. The mental load.
And you are never enough. And it's not because the people don't see you as enough. It's because you don't see yourself as enough because you wish you could do more.
Woman, the most challenging thing about it, okay, how do I put it? It's silent on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the siren.
Mm-hmm. Wee, 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 wee. Alarm!
Inside your head, it's all silent.
Do you ever go and check on your children to see if they are breathing?
No. You see the problem. The problem comes. I don't want to be labeled as a pedophile in my own house.
Yeah. It's like, weird. I, what are you doing here? I just want to see if you're breathing.
There's an aunt who's taking care of us.
Yeah.
Not really my kids, but me as well.
Yeah.
And she's a full grown woman.
Yeah.
What would she think if, like seriously,
you rock up.
No, I've never entered into their bedroom.
But have you ever thought about it?
Yeah.
What if she just dies in her sleep?
No, they will give you instruction, Kucha. You knock, and then you wait by the door until somebody comes.
But when they were younger, when you had access to them, when they were younger, did you ever check if they are breathing?
Yeah, like.
Like, and that is how, right, I say that being a parent is the biggest gift that you could ever get and also the biggest liability or burden you could ever get at the same time. It's rewarding and demanding at the same time.
You know, like, I've seen people juggling through life, challenges of life and trying to raise up kids, né?
That are good.
This beautiful woman, like, she's like, man, kuruka do yen and then you question it, but Pima.
Bro! Yeah, ne? You walk with the world on your shoulders, it's like that, ne? Yes. She has never looked nice. Like. And the vehicle, what do you mean? She's going through a lot, even when she's going through nothing. Oh. Oh, bruh. Yes. Because how, like, sometimes I feel like that lady. Hey, nothing looks nice. Like, mwazo mwaza, guys. Like, ugh.
Your Majesty.
Mm.
I hate to love and live with.
Bye-bye, my dear.
Forever and a day.
Forever and a day.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Alrighty. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're diving into the conversation around emotional support, and we're diving into emotional support from all areas of our lives. And for those that are waiting for a certain sequence, if you have just joined the bandwagon or the train of pulling heartstrings, we know that pulling heartstrings is unorthodox. Pulling heartstrings is real. Pulling heartstrings is navigated by the emotions that we express, the knowledge that we express, the experiences that we express here on the radio. So we're talking about emotional support in the space of spouse, but it is not confined to spouse only, because at the end of the day, we love so many other people that are not only our spouses. So we talk about, try to understand their feelings from their point of view. Imagine how you would feel in their situation. That's what you have to do, right? If you want to reassure others, if you want to empathize with others, you have to look at and understand things the way they feel, and imagine them from your own perspective and put yourself in their shoes and offer reassurance. Let them know how you're there for them, you know, and their feelings are normal and they matter. Now, for example, somebody coming to you and telling you about how jealous they are of their sibling or how jealous they are of their friends. You must not shun and shame people for having an emotion, because if it was not an emotion that was real, it wouldn't exist. So it is normal to feel this way. What is not normal is to act upon bad emotions, right? Like going to kill your sister because you're jealous. That's bad, acting upon it. So let them know that their feelings are normal and their feelings are real and that you support them through it. And an example of that is, I understand that you're feeling jealous because your sister graduated before you, and, or your sister is having a child before you, because people get jealous for weird things. Like, you're like, you're jealous of somebody that has teenage pregnancy. But yeah, anyhow, anywho. Understand that you feel this way, and you most probably feel this way because you would also like a family of your own one day. And I understand, you know, but like, I get you and I understand.
And then sometimes you can just leave it at that. That is empathizing and reassuring somebody that you understand. And it is normal. It's normal for you to be jealous, because usually we are jealous of things that we want and we don't have, right? But it doesn't mean that just because we don't have them right now doesn't mean that they're never coming our way, or they are not in the paths of our destiny. No, it just means that for this that is happening to them, this is their time to have this, and your time will surely come as well. And you never even know, because you might even realize that after a couple of years, you realize that you don't even want children in the first place. You see the struggle that your sister is going through, and being the person that has to actually help her with these children that she birthed, right? You realize that I don't want this. I want a different path for myself. I don't want teenage pregnancy. I want an education. I want to see the world. I want to eat dinner in Paris and fly to Peru. I want to shake my bum in a thong in Brazil. I want to go and be embraced in other continent, on another continent. I want to go to East Africa. And you realize that your life path is not that of your sister's, and you never know what the future holds for you. Maybe what? You are gonna be a mom in the next 2 years, and now you're jealous here, like it's never gonna come, and you wanna act upon this jealousy, but can't he? Or you could have even been pregnant the time that you're being jealous, and you don't even know this. So, how about I understand how you feel? I understand how you feel. And for someone that wants this, it's okay. I think that one thing that is less spoken about, especially when it comes to emotional support of spouses, is people that are trying for children. People that are trying for children are going through the motions, because everywhere they look and everywhere they turn, there is a baby on display. There's a baby on display, friend. There's a baby on display, and you can't run away from it. You can't hide from it. There's nothing you can do, and you don't have one. And families are so cruel, and sometimes families are very loving and kind. Now, if you're in the loving and kind place, they don't mean to make you feel bad, but even them not talking about children around you makes you feel bad, and them talking about children around you makes you feel bad. And them talking about people that are infertile around you makes you feel bad. And them not talking about it, everything makes you feel bad. So sometimes it's the situation in which you are that needs you to understand when other people are supporting you. When somebody says that your time will come, it is true. Your time will come. But like emotionally supporting someone, the couple of things that I have picked up is that we as human beings don't have patience and we don't have tolerance. And sometimes we don't have patience and we don't have tolerance towards ourselves. So we can't be patient and we can't be tolerant of the situation in which we are in. And that is why the greener days or the greener pastures are so prolonged, because our days are not 24 hours. Our days are 72 hours, because you go through so much in that one day. And your days are longer because your mind is standing still and we are not moving forward and we're not getting happy. So let's put empathy and reassurance. Let's reassure our people that they are important. Let's reassure our people that they are valid. Let's reassure them that whatever they're going through, right, we hear them. And let's not be too quick to find solutions to other people's problems. Sometimes, right, we must wait to be asked, what do you think I should do? And then you can give your solution and your honest opinion. But if I'm telling you that I feel like my heart is burning from the inside, you must not tell me that, don't worry. Most people get those things when they feel bad. Ask me. Ask me. Can we normalize asking each other questions? Can we normalize listening to one another's answers? Can we normalize taking something from these answers and grasping it? Can we normalize telling people what they said to us so that they can correct us if we missed something or we misinterpreted something. Because sometimes I can tell you that I feel really bad and you can say it back to me and you can say that, yeah, you told me that you are heartbroken and devastated, and I can turn around and I say, I didn't say heartbroken. Because heartbreak is something for something else. I didn't say devastated. I said I feel bad. I feel bad is something that is lighter than devastated. It's something lighter than heartbroken. Because I'm not heartbroken. I feel bad. So let's normalize it so that people can correct us, so that we can navigate around them and we can navigate around ourselves a little bit better. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to beat you up, right? I'm here to share my experiences and the experiences of those that have allowed me into their hearts and into their lives. I know so much a lot about you guys, and I'm grateful for the therapy that you have given me for free here at Eagle FM. So ladies and gentlemen, I bid you guys farewell. I love you guys forever and a day. You guys are important to me. And also, I'm going to see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And we're going to finalize our conversation to some degree. Actually, we have three more steps. We have communication, respectful communication. And we also have support and also taking care of oneself. And then last but not least, we have seek assistance, you know? So that those are the angles that we're going to talk about. And officially by Friday, we're going to seal the deal with a kiss and we're going to say goodbye. So from now, I say bye-bye, you guys.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one.